In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
From the book of Micah. My people, what have I done to you? In what ways have I offended you? Answer me. I led you out of Egypt from slavery to freedom, but you led your Savior to the cross. My people, answer me. My people, answer me. What have I done to you? What have I done to you? For 40 years I led you safely through the desert. I fed you with manna from heaven. I brought you to the land of plenty, but you led your Savior to the cross. My people, what have I done to you? In what ways have I offended you? Answer me. What more could I have done for you? I planted you as my fairest vine, but you yielded only bitterness. When I was thirsty, you gave me vinegar to drink, and you pierced your Savior's side with a lance. My people, what have I done to you? In what ways have I offended you? Answer me. For your sake, I scourged your captors and the firstborn sons, and you brought your scourges down on me. My people, what have I done to you? In what ways have I offended you? Answer me. I led you from slavery to freedom and drowned your captors in the sea, but you handed me over to the high priests. My people, what have I done to you? In what ways have I offended you? Answer me. I opened the sea before you, but you opened my side with the spear. My people, what have I done to you? In what ways have I offended you? Answer me. I led you on your way through the pillar of cloud, but you led me to Pilate's court. My people, what have I done to you? In what ways have I offended you? Answer me. I bore you up with manna in the desert, but you struck me and scourged me. My people, what have I done to you? In what ways have I offended you? Answer me. I gave you saving water from the rock, but you gave me gall and vinegar to drink. My people, what have I done to you? In what ways have I offended you? Answer me. Answer me. For you I struck the kings of Canaan, but you struck my head with a reed. My people, what have I done to you? In what ways have I offended you? Answer me. I gave you a royal scepter, but you gave me a crown of thorns. My people, what have I done to you? In what ways have I offended you? Answer me. I raised you on height, the height of majesty, but you have raised me on a cross. My people, what have I done to you? In what ways have I offended you? Answer me. This is the Good Friday service as we venerate the Sacred Cross. And it takes it from Micah. What have I done to you? As I said last night, John the Baptist said, there is one among you whom you do not recognize. There is one among you whom you do not recognize. And I want to tell you, most of the church does not recognize the one that is among us. Most of those who pray the creed every single week, whether they be Catholic, Protestant or Orthodox, they do not recognize the one among us, the one who gave his life for us, the one who bled for us, the one who wore a crown of thorns, the one who absorbed the sin of the world, the one who took every pain that we go through, every sorrow that we go through. We think of Jesus on the cross and we think of the suffering of, physical pain, but there were three people that died on the cross that day at least, and we hear of the suffering of Jesus. Let me tell you, the suffering of Jesus was much more than nails and crown of thorns, for he absorbed the sin of the world. He took in today people in children's hospital. Mothers will be told that their children do not have 3 weeks to live. He absorbed that pain, that agony, that anguish of what happened just 2 days in Linfield, when these two babies, 2.5 years old, they opened the little pool and they both drowned. Oh, Jesus Christ has absorbed that pain, has taken that from that mother, from that father, from that family. My people, what have I done to you? We only see in the cross the physical suffering of Jesus, but he absorbed the sin of the world. He absorbed the pain of the world. He absorbed your pain and my pain. He absorbed everything that we go through. Jesus the Lord did not only die with nails, did not only die with a crown of thorns, but Jesus the Lord said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. I will draw all men unto myself, all men unto myself. That on the cross, Jesus became like a mother giving birth, like a mother giving birth, drawing all men and women and children to himself, drawing every one of us to himself, absorbing the pain that everybody goes through, the agony, the anguish, the darkness. I just heard of a young woman. This young woman went to a fortune teller, and her son has just died at 2 years old. And the fortune teller told her that her baby was beckoning her. So the other day, she decided to go to the cemetery and to hang herself. Thank God for my friend that's in England, that she heard of this and she went to the cemetery and she talked her out of it for that day. She talked her out of it for that day. She went to a fortune teller. A fortune teller, and the fortune teller was telling her son was beckoning her. This young woman has just buried 8 of her friends who all hung themselves. They all hung themselves. And so she goes to a fortune teller. Why couldn't she go to the church? And you want to know what? If she did, I'm going to tell you they would have turned her away. You want to know how I know that? Because when my friend went to the Catholics and to the Protestants and to the Pentecostals and all of them, you've got to come with me. You've got to come with me. You've got to come with me. There's a woman who's going to kill herself by her baby's grave. They said, we're going to sleep well tonight. We hope you do tonight. I tell you, my people, what have I done to you? In what ways have I offended you? Answer me. Answer me. I'm not stretching the story, okay? This really happened. Yesterday I got a message from her saying, thank God she found her and she's safe. But let me also tell you, this friend of mine has gone through ritual abuse. And the last time this person came to me, I said to her, oh, God is healing you and he's going to use you for the broken. He's going to use you for the needy. He's going to use you for the poor. And that's what he's doing. My people, what have I done to you? And what ways have I offended you? Answer me. Just answer me. That people are dying every single day, and the body of Christ is so nonchalant. People are starving, and the body of Christ is so nonchalant. And people are being killed today in Planned Parenthood. About 30 of them will be killed. And the body of Christ is so nonchalant. The only way to save them is through prayer and going there and giving them an alternative, giving them a choice. But you see, we're all so comfortable. Everybody wants to be comfortable. We just want to have nice things. Like I have no problem with prosperity. You want to know that? Because the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Everything he gives, I just keep on giving back. I keep on giving back and I keep on getting more. But there's much more than prosperity. There's much more than prosperity. It's caring for those who aren't cared for. It's caring for those who have no voice. It's caring for those who would be neglected in this world. This is what Jesus came to save. The neglected, the broken, the needy, the poor. That's who he came to save. The desperate. And there are so many desperate people. You know, we've got to give life and we've got to give action with our words. We've got to give life and action with our words. We just cannot speak words about Jesus. We have to incarnate those words by the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, we have to do what other people will not do. You know, we have to go where other people will not go. We have to preach where other people will not preach. We have to say what other people will not say. And you know, I'm telling you, my friends, what's happening in the United States today with this economic downfall is because of 60 million children that have died and millions and millions of women that are in terrible guilt, and nobody goes after them. Nobody calls out to them. You know, we just kind of forget. But the blood of the children is crying out for vengeance. The blood of the children is crying out for vengeance. Vengeance, 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 because it's innocent blood that has been shed. Innocent blood that has been shed. Innocent blood that has been shed. And the Lord hears the cry of the innocent blood. And so you want to know what? We're all going to suffer. We're all going to suffer. You want to know why? Because we've done nothing. Because we've done nothing. Because it happens every single day, and we don't even think about it. And what about our brothers and sisters today? Those people that are in parts of Africa, parts of Asia, those people that are in Muslim countries who will die for the Lord Jesus Christ this very day, who are in jail, the priests in China. We don't even think about them. You know why? Because we're comfortable. But they are our brothers and sisters, and they give their life for Jesus. And they have been in jail, some of these priests, for 40 years. And every single day, they go to death for Christ. And no one even thinks about them. You want to know why? Because they're poor. But they belong to the body of Christ. They are far above me. They are far above you. They are the ones who give their life for Jesus. They are the ones who found someone worth living for and someone worth dying for. They shed their blood for the risen Lord. My people, what have I done to you? In what ways have I offended you? It's time. It's time to wake up. And we can't do everything on us, but we could do something. We can't do everything, but we could do something. We can't do everything, but we can do something. Something can be done by every single person. Just, there are people from this little parish. I'll tell you, this little parish, Sister Ruth Carneal prophesied last night that it was a lighthouse. When I came here, that's what the Lord told me, that this place is a lighthouse. It's going to be a lighthouse that's going to beckon to those ships that are broken, those ships that are going to capsize. It's going to be a lighthouse to the people that nobody else wants. Those are the first words that he told me, that it was going to be a lighthouse offering hope to those that are shipwrecked. That's what he told me. I believe this place is a lighthouse. From this little place, I'm going to tell you, and I'm not bragging because it has nothing to do with me. I tell you, from this little place, people from this parish and people who come to this parish have saved almost 400 children at Planned Parenthood because they followed up on it because they care, and they're there 2 days a week, and other people go other days because they care. And we have another woman who does post-abortive work with women. Post-abortive work with women who are in torment and guilt because they killed their children. And she brings them to healing and by the grace of the living God. And we feed the poor on a Saturday and clothe them. And the people who have nothing that are out in the street under the ramps, you know. And we give them clothes and we pray with them, and we're just doing what we need to do. This is not really anything great, honest. It's not great. It's just justice. Justice is much more than charity. Charity is extra. Justice is what people deserve as people. Charity goes on before justice. Justice is tithing 10%. Charity is above 10%. You know, justice is caring for those people that nobody else cares for, because you want to know what? That's what Jesus did. But you see, we have much more than just feeding them. We have hope, we have the gospel, we have life. And I'm not telling you that we're great. I tell you, we're not great. We're not great. But you know, this little place has had an impact on probably more people than any other place in the diocese. You want to know why? Because of the Holy Ghost. Because of the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God. You want to know why people are afraid of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to tell you. In one simple answer. People are afraid of the Holy Spirit because he leads you where he led Jesus, and that's to the cross. And people don't want that. And there's something within people that know if I go any deeper in the Holy Ghost, I'm going to end up at Calvary and the empty tomb. But how long will it take to go to the empty tomb? Oh, I know. That's why people don't want the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, we see the great miracles and the things that God knows how to do. Oh, yes, we've seen the blind healed and the deaf hear. We've seen those things. And we saw just this very week, this woman came in, she couldn't walk, but she walked out of the church with 80% less pain than she walked in. She was crying when she walked in. And the week before, we saw a lady with MS for 16 years, couldn't move her legs, and she moved both of her legs. And what I can't understand is why she didn't come the next week. I said, come back. Come back so that God will do more. I don't understand that. That's total beyond me. Not because we need her to come, but for her own sake. I tell you, if something was wrong with me and I got something partially done, I'd run on my hands, and I never walked on my hands in my life. I'd get there. Just maybe God's going to do something else. Just maybe. I certainly don't understand people. The only thing I can say is we just continue doing what we need to do. You know, despite whether they come or don't come, we've been worshiping God every Sunday night with about 7 or 8 people. And you know what? 7 or 8 people, at least 7 or 8 people worshiping God. We've been using CDs and worshiping God. We're praising God. That's all we can do. You know, part of me would want to say, I don't want to play this game anymore. We used to have over 100 people here. Now we only have 7. But you know what? We come to praise God, the 7 of us, the 6 of us, the 8 of us, whoever comes, because he's worthy of praise. And we've also started something else. We've started something else during the week that we come to praise God, and 2 or 3 people might come in the middle of the day to praise God. No crowds, but you know what? Maybe that's why we're having crowds during this revival, because we've been praising God, and we've been kind of faithful. And they're part of me, you know, very American, wants to say, you know, give me a break. Just give me a break. I've had enough of it. Give me a break. When I go away, people crowd in. When I come here, we get 6 or 7 people. That's what you call pride. So we continue. And we're going to continue. We're going to continue until God continues to do things, because you know what? Because people are desperate. Because there is more desperation than we'd ever know. There is more brokenness than we'd ever know. And we need to respond. And we respond always in worship. We respond always in praise. We respond always in getting our hands dirty. Oh, yeah. Our hands got to get dirty. Not a clean job. Being crucified with Christ. Really, it's not a clean job. It's messy. It's very messy. But it's life-giving. It's totally life-giving. And I'm going to also tell you this. I don't do it perfect, and none of us do. We do the best we can. We're all broken vessels. We're all cracked pots. We do the best we can. We just offer ourselves to the Lord and say, here I am, Lord. I come to do thy will, and I'll do anything you tell me to do. Just motivate me. Do what only you can do. And you know, one of the things that I do is I get angry. Oh, I just blow my top. But you know what? The Lord knows that. But even though I blow my top, I'm going to just tell you, the people I blow it at, I'm always willing to take them back. Because Jesus is always willing to take me back. Jesus is always willing to take me back. He's never rejected me every time I've come to him. So we're all, you know, diamonds in the rough. That's all we are. But you know what? Just we have to give that diamond to Jesus, and he'll just make pressure.
And he'll do the pressure and make us into real diamonds. Because that's what he does. There's so much that he wants to do. But the sacrifice first is worship, praise, adoration, singing to him because he's worthy. And then from them we go and we take on the role that he calls us to take on. It's not easy. It never was easy, and it never will be easy. That's why we need each other. And that's why we need each other. That's why we need each other, because the world tells us we're nuts. Our families tell us we're crazy. People tell us, what are you doing? Why don't you think about yourself? It's time to think about yourself. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on us, Lord, and pour out your Spirit during these days in ways that we could not even think or imagine. Have your way, Lord, because you're the Lord. Have your way, Lord, because you're the Lord. Have your way, Lord, because you're the Lord. Have your way, Lord. You're the Lord. You can do whatever you want, Jesus, in this place. Do whatever you want, Jesus, because you're the Lord. Amen.
Holy, holy, holy.
Thank you for listening to In Season and Out of Season. This is Father Tom, and I'm really grateful to be able to come into your homes to proclaim the Word of God. At this point, we have not received enough money for our June bills, and we have not even begun to receive money for our July bills. So if this broadcast is a blessing to you, you write to Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. One more time. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. As I've told you before, I cannot go into debt, and if I have to cut out stations, I will have to do that. So, if this broadcast is a blessing, if you've never written, please write, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I do want to tell you that every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be worshiping at the Holy Rosary at 4 o'clock. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we'll be worshiping at the Holy Rosary at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. This is the month of August, and every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be worshiping at the Holy Rosary at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, praising God, for He is glorious and triumphant. I do also want to remind you about Jimmy the Roofer. And as I told you, you know, he did a job that should have been $20,000, and it wasn't even near that. And winter is coming, and he's taking appointments because he can only do so much. And his telephone number is 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. And don't get caught with a hole in your roof. 617-519-0341. And again, I do need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. May the Lord bless you and fill you with His Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.